Top experts now expect the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates in the near future.
The survey found that about 3/4 of the economists expect that the Fed is going to cut rates, and that's up quite a bit from last month. We do the survey every month, and only about half of them were saying that.
Plus, Tyson Foods is jumping on the meatless bandwagon.
Tyson Foods is a giant in the meat business. The huge interest in what people are calling the plant-based meat alternatives over the last few years has not escaped their watch.
Jacob Bungie of the Wall Street Journal will have more on this story. And Secretary of State Pompeo blames Iran for the attacks on two tankers off the Iranian coast. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Before we get to our main story on the Journal's economist survey, here are some other stories we're following. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has blamed Iran for a Thursday morning attack on two tankers off the Iranian coastline. The attack, coming amid heightened tensions in the Mideast, initially sent oil prices sharply higher before they pulled back. The incident has reignited fears of trade disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz, through which over a third of the world's seaborne crude oil is shipped. Here's Wall Street Journal London-based reporter Benoit Faucon with more on the attack.
The circumstances and sort of technical details of the attack suggest it would have been a torpedo, that it would have been a projectile that would have been launched on at least one of the vessels. That's what we've heard. That's the initial conclusions.
Both ships caught fire. Damage to one of the tankers was extensive, including a hole at the waterline consistent with a torpedo. Each ship was carrying crude products bound for Asia. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said President Trump's stated openness to accepting damaging information about his rivals from foreign governments showed he didn't know right from wrong. In an interview Wednesday with ABC News, Mr. Trump said he wouldn't consider it wrong to look at information gathered by a foreign country about his campaign rivals without alerting the FBI. A government watchdog recommended that top White House advisor Kellyanne Conway be removed from her post, citing repeated alleged violations of a rule that prohibits political activity by executive branch staff. In a statement Thursday, the Office of Special Counsel, which isn't affiliated with former Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, described Ms. Conway as a repeat offender of the Hatch Act for attacking Democratic presidential candidates while speaking in her official capacity as a White House advisor. President Trump Thursday tweeted that White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders will be leaving her job at the end of the month to return to her home state of Arkansas. Ms. Sanders assumed the role in July 2017 after Mr. Trump's first press secretary, Sean Spicer, left the job. Most Wall Street investors expect the Federal Reserve's next move will be to cut short-term interest rates, and a new Wall Street Journal survey finds most economists feel the same way. Here with some more details on the survey is the Wall Street Journal's Kate Davidson, who joins us from Washington. First, Kate, what percentage of economists are looking for a rate cut before too long?
Well, Charlie, the survey found that about 3/4 of the economists surveyed, we talked to 59 of them this month, they expect that the Fed is going to cut rates. And that's up quite a bit from last month. We do the survey every month, and only about half of them were saying that. It was pretty evenly split, 51-49, between those who thought that the Fed would cut rates and those who thought that they were probably going to raise them again. So there's been a significant shift since that last survey.
But few are expecting the Fed to cut rates at the next policy meeting, which is June 18th and June 19th. Isn't that right?
That's right. If you look at what markets are pricing in, for example, they place about a 22% chance of the Fed officials cutting interest rates when they meet next week. Economists that we surveyed see the odds as much, much lower. Only two of the 46 economists who expect the next move to be a rate cut think that that's going to happen in June. It's just about a week away. I think that a lot of them are expecting something possibly in July, which would be interesting because, we have seen the Fed, when they have made moves in recent years, has been on kind of this quarterly cycle. And previously it had been at meetings where there was a press conference so that presumably that that often happened so that the Fed chairman could explain their actions. Now, this year, we have Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. The committee has changed the policy so that he is now coming out and speaking to the press after every meeting. So I think that if that had been a constraining factor before, it's not a factor anymore. That means July could be certainly on the table for a possible rate cut, or September. A sizable number of economists think that there could be some action at that meeting as well.
I'm wondering about this. Is there any consensus among economists on how many times the Fed may cut rates this year?
Well, on average, economists see the Fed funds rate settling around 2.12% by the end of the year. So that would imply that they expect just one rate cut this year. And then they provided their forecasts for 2020 as well. And that suggests they see possibly one more rate cut next year. So that's, a fairly, I guess, tame forecast, if you will. I think that markets are expecting or perhaps hoping that the Fed will take some more dramatic action. But as of right now, they're not expecting a whole lot. The Fed might just need to do, say, a 25 basis point rate cut to show that they're taking these concerns of slowing growth seriously, that they're ready to take action to shore up the economy if needed, and that might help to boost confidence, investor confidence.
Well, let's talk about the economy. Is this sentiment being prompted by a slowing economy, which, there are indications is happening?
Yes, I think that's part of it. Of course, the global economy has been slowing, and that's something that Fed officials have flagged for a while. There have been some signs of weakness in the factory sector, U.S. factory sector this year. We also have the elephant in the room, or maybe it's not even an elephant, everyone's talking about it, is the ongoing trade dispute on several fronts. Trade tensions are having, I think, an important effect on business confidence. They are not, as of right now, boosting inflation, which is, of course, something that's really important to the Fed and that they keep a close eye on. But I think that it's causing enough uncertainty that it's making things difficult for the Fed. And then add to that, last month, or I should say earlier this month, but for the month of May, we saw a fairly disappointing employment report. The labor market's still fairly healthy, but the economy, employers only added 75,000 jobs last month, and that was a big miss from what economists had expected of about 175,000-180,000 new jobs.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson joining us from Washington. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Charlie.
The U.S.'s biggest meat producer is jumping on the meat replacement bandwagon. Tyson Foods will offer this summer a plant-based alternative to poultry, specifically nuggets made from peas, flaxseed, and other plants. Here with more on Tyson's meatless offering is The Wall Street Journal's Jacob Bungie, who joins us via Skype from Chicago. Jacob, the entry by Tyson into meatless offerings is a pretty big deal, considering Tyson accounts for about 20% of the meat processing business in the U.S. Tell us about its new nuggets.
Well, like you say, Tyson Foods is a giant in the meat business. They're the biggest U.S. meat supplier, and they do all the major meats. They're the biggest beef processor. They're the biggest in chicken. They effectively set up the current way that the chicken industry works in the United States today. They're one of the biggest pork processors. But as you say, the huge increase in interest in what people are calling the plant-based meat alternatives over the last few years has not escaped their watch. They have seen this and they've participated as an investor. They had a position in Beyond Meat, one of the makers of the new plant-based burger alternatives out there today. And they last year were looking ahead. They started talking and decided that if there's going to be meat replacements to be sold, that this ought to be a business that they're in as well.
So what about their pea-based meat? Anything specific you can tell us about it?
So the nuggets that they're debuting as the first of their plant-based offerings are made from pea protein isolate. This has been an ingredient in a number of the newer plant-based meat products. They're made from other sort of similar ingredients, golden flaxseed, bamboo fiber. They're not 100% vegan, it should be noted, because they do use egg whites. This is a common ingredient in breading. But, you know, no chicken, and this from one of the biggest purveyors of chicken nuggets in the United States. So it's a significant departure for them.
And quoting somebody from Tyson, the new offering has less saturated fat than traditional chicken nuggets, though their taste and texture are much the same. I guess that's how they're promoting it.
They're saying these nuggets are going to be nutritionally different than traditional chicken nuggets. They say they'll have less saturated fat, for example, and that they're trying the best they can to match the texture and the taste that people come to expect from regular chicken nuggets.
Jacob, isn't Tyson the latest to offer plant-based alternatives to meat? I mean, other companies are already offering things like meatless burgers, you know, beyond meat, which we have mentioned before.
Tyson is coming into this business that has really been propelled over the last few years by these newer companies, Beyond Meat, which went public with tremendous fanfare last month in May. Impossible Foods being another one, which has just raised another $300 million worth of funding over the last month. And the success that these companies have had making a new sort of alternative to meat by manipulating plant proteins and starches and sort of building these products from the ground up as opposed to sort of putting together pieces of black beans and mushrooms, for example, some prior iterations of vegetarian burgers have done. These new companies are really making something that's a lot more close approximation of the way that ground beef, for example, looks and cooks, and they say tastes. And the success that they've had getting onto restaurant menus, into grocery stores, between Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, at this point, they're in nearly 40,000 different locations in the United States at this point in time. The big companies like Tyson Foods and some of the other ones in this space, like Nestle, Unilever, the Brazilian meat company JBS, they all want to have a piece of this. And so you're seeing them develop and roll out their own versions of these products.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Bungie joining us via Skype from Chicago. Thanks, Jacob.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And that's what's news for Thursday afternoon. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.